This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. For days now, the world has held its breath, expecting and awaiting an American reprisal against Syria for its chemical gas attack that killed dozens of people in a rebel enclave. And now President Trump is confirming a missile attack is being readied, tweeting American military intentions, complete with a taunt at Syria's patron and ally, Russia, after Russia sounded a warning of its own. Our Hallie Jackson has details.
Tonight, all signs point to what seems all but inevitable, a strike on Syria soon.
Thank you all very much, everybody.
On Twitter, the president previewing an attack and putting Russia on notice after a Russian official promised Moscow would shoot down any missiles aimed at Syria. President Trump writing, "Get ready, Russia, because they, the missiles, will be coming. Nice and new and smart. You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it." Defense Secretary James Mattis not ready to say for sure the Assad regime is behind this weekend's deadly chemical weapons attack outside Damascus.
We're still assessing the intelligence, ourselves and our allies.
But to the White House and others around the world, it's clear the Syrian dictator's to blame for yet another horrific poison gas attack targeting people in their homes, including children. Rescuers working frantically to help them.
The use of chemical weapons cannot go unchallenged.
The UK and France now agreeing on the need to act as White House officials point to close coordination with those allies and others. The president's tweets today, a break from the military strategy of surprise he's often talked about.
My administration will not telegraph exactly military plans and what they are.
Militarily, I don't like to say where I'm going and what I'm doing.
And in a tweet on Syria from 2013, he asked, why can't we just be quiet and if we attack at all, catch them by surprise?
Why this time is the president not taking his own advice and being quiet, as he put it?
The president has not laid out a timetable and he has a number of other options as well. And we're considering all of those options.
There is no advantage to revealing that a strike is coming and there's no advantage in taunting Russia because the worst outcome in this upcoming scenario would be direct military conflict between the United States and Russia.
And Hallie, we're past the 48-hour window when the president said he would make his decision on military action. Should we read anything into that?
Well, it's a good question, Lester, and one that I asked the White House about tonight, given that that deadline would have run out right around midday today. They're pointing to moves the president has made publicly that hint at his decision, like canceling that planned trip to South America to stay here in D.C. Officials say they are working to coordinate closely with international allies. But, Lester, given the president's own words, his own tweets, he is seeming to signal a strike. It's just a matter of what kind, when, and where.
Hallie Jackson at the White House tonight. Thank you. There is a new twist this evening in the FBI raid on President Trump's longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen. NBC News has learned the feds were also looking for records related to the infamous Access Hollywood tape in which Mr. Trump was making crude comments, bragging about grabbing women. NBC's Kristen Welker has the breaking details.
Tonight, the Access Hollywood tape that nearly derailed candidate Trump now rocking the White House. NBC News has learned the FBI agents who raided the office and residences of Michael Cohen, the president's personal attorney, were also seeking any communications between Mr. Trump and Cohen related to the 2005 video.
Grab him by the...
Access Hollywood is an NBC Universal program. Law enforcement sources say investigators were also after Cohen's records about payoffs to a porn star and a playmate to stay silent about their alleged affairs with Mr. Trump, which the White House has denied. Cohen telling Donnie Deutsch today,
he says, I'd rather jump out of a building than turn on Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump has been fuming ever since the Monday raid, which stemmed from the investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller, openly musing about firing Mueller. And sources familiar with the matter say privately mulling the ouster of the deputy attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, who's overseeing the Russia probe. The White House not giving any job assurances.
I don't have any personnel announcements.
And lashing out.
The president certainly has been clear that he has a very deep concern about the direction that the special counsel and other investigations have taken.
Now, tonight, new pressure from Capitol Hill, a bipartisan group of lawmakers proposing legislation to protect the special counsel's job.
The American people deserve
deserve answers. They deserve to know what happened. This needs to be done fairly and thoroughly.
This is exactly the sort of situation where an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Legal analysts say firing Mueller won't solve the president's legal problems.
Even if the president were to get rid of Mueller, he can't stop those indictments and criminal cases that Mueller has already initiated. Those will move forward.
When asked if the White House would support legislation protecting Mueller, Sarah Sanders was noncommittal. Now, as for Michael Cohen, NBC News has learned that that search warrant, the scope of it is much wider than initially believed, which means there could be new details to emerge in the coming days. Important to point out, Cohen has not been charged with any crime, Lester.
All right, Kristen, thank you very much. Now to the fallout from that surprise announcement, House Speaker Paul Ryan saying he is not running for re-election, quitting Congress come January. While there had been rumblings of a possible retirement, the move still sent shockwaves across the Capitol and to vulnerable Republican districts all across the country as the GOP fights to hang on to its majority in the House. We get the latest from NBC's Casey Hunt on the Hill.
In a major blow for House Republicans,
today I am announcing that this year will be my last one as a member of the House.
Speaker Paul Ryan rocking the Capitol with his decision not to run for re-election.
You all know that I did not seek this job. I took it reluctantly, but I have given this job everything that I have.
Just before Ryan took the podium, the president tweeting the news, calling Ryan, quote, a truly good man. Ryan insisting he's leaving to spend more time with his three teenage children.
My kids weren't even born when I was first elected. What I realize is, if I am here for one more term, my kids will only have ever known me as a weekend dad.
But after just 2.5 years, an already tough job was only getting harder, trying to manage the stubborn conservatives who had pushed out John Boehner and given Ryan the gavel. Known as a policy wonk, Ryan was a fast rising star, the Republican 2012 nominee for vice president.
I did not make a mistake with this guy.
Then at 45, the youngest speaker in more than a century. But then came Donald Trump's unexpected win after Ryan had disavowed the Access Hollywood tape.
I am not going to defend Donald Trump. Not now, not in the future.
Since then, they've worked together to pass tax reform. But Ryan has had to defend the president at every turn.
Absolutely, he's helping us with tax reform. Do I wish he would tweet less? Of course I do. He knows that, but I don't think that's something out of my control, and I don't think that's something that's going to change.
But Ryan also couldn't escape the building blue wave. Democrats need 23 seats to win back the House in the midterm elections. Ryan deciding to exit on his own terms before voters had the chance to strip his gavel this fall.
The blow to the morale of Republican House members has got to be pretty dramatic, you know, especially given how difficult this political environment already was.
Ryan's exit will spark an intense fight inside the party to replace him. His deputies, Steve Scalise and Kevin McCarthy, already vying for support. As for Ryan himself, he insists he is not interested in running for elected office ever again, including for president. Lester.
Okay, Casey Hunt, thank you. And a very busy day in the Capitol, where it was also round two for Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook CEO, facing contentious questions before House lawmakers a day after his Senate grilling about the misuse of data for millions of Facebook users. Zuckerberg revealing that he was among those hit. And we get the latest on all of it from our business correspondent, Joe Linkett.
Tonight, Mark Zuckerberg once again facing skeptical lawmakers, pushing him on Facebook's failure to protect its users' private information.
It seems as though you turned a blind eye to this, correct?
Congressman, I disagree with that assessment.
And pressing him to change Facebook's default settings to minimize how much of your personal information is shared.
Congressman, this is a complex issue that I think deserves more than a one-word answer.
Well, again, that's disappointing to me because I think you should make that commitment.
And now the billionaire admitting he was one of the 87 million Facebook users who unwittingly had personal information harvested by political data firm Cambridge Analytica.
Was your data included in the data sold to the malicious third parties? Your personal data?
Yes.
Zuckerberg says he agrees with what critics say is overdue, more regulation of his social media network that accesses the personal information of 2 billion users.
The internet is growing in importance around the world in people's lives. And I think that it is inevitable that there will need to be some regulation.
But when pressed on the exact type of regulation, Zuckerberg would not agree to specifics.
Why should Americans trust Facebook again?
After two marathon days in the hot seat, the embattled CEO leaving Capitol Hill with many questions still unanswered.
They didn't talk enough about what exactly happened and how the decisions were made. Mark tended to skitter around about those and not saying, I didn't know about that, I didn't know about this. But he is the CEO of the company.
Although Zuckerberg is done testifying, this is round one of a longer battle. The cloud of potential regulation still hangs over Facebook as lawmakers here propose new limits on what they can do with your data. Lester.
All right. Jolene Kent at the Capitol for us tonight. Thank you. Tonight, there are disturbing new allegations against Missouri Governor Eric Greitens, a rising star in the Republican Party, already caught up in a scandal involving alleged blackmail against a woman with whom he was having an affair. That woman now telling lawmakers about alleged forceful behavior against her by Greitens and that the sexual encounter was coerced. NBC's Blake McCoy has the breaking developments.
Consumed by scandal, tonight Missouri Governor Eric Greitens is defiant, refusing to resign.
Let's call this what it is, a political witch hunt.
That hastily arranged press conference came right before the Missouri House released its report outlining an affair Greitens had the year before he was elected governor. Describing one of their encounters, the woman says Greitens kind of smacked me and grabbed me and shoved me down on the ground, and I instantly just started bawling and was just like, what is wrong with you? Greitens has denied violence and threatening to blackmail the woman with a naked photograph. He's set to stand trial in St. Louis next month for felony invasion of privacy, and equated his troubles to those being faced by the president.
Smearing, lying, and attacking people who want to change how things are done is wrong in Washington, and it's wrong in Missouri.
Greitens says in 33 days at that trial, the public will learn the truth. Blake McCoy, NBC News.
We're going to take a short break here. Still ahead, protecting your dream vacation. Is buying travel insurance really worth the cost? Well, you should know before you book your family's summer trip. It's that time of year when a lot of us are planning our summer vacations, and many want to know, is buying travel insurance really worth it? According to one industry group, 36% of travelers who have to change their plans have insurance, but it may not cover everything you think it does. Here's Gabe Gutierrez.
Kim Gorman had planned a dream family vacation to Italy just days before her father had heart trouble and had to cancel. She says travel insurance saved her $3,600.
It's wonderful. I would not travel without travel insurance.
But Bonnie Solberg bought insurance for a trip to North Dakota. When her husband was injured during the trip, eventually passing away, she says she was stuck with $28,000 in bills, including an air ambulance and hotel expenses.
The travel insurance basically didn't cover anything that I anticipated.
Turns out many policies don't cover medical evacuations. What does insurance typically cover? Canceled flights, lost bags, cancellations due to illness or bad weather. It often costs 4 to 8% of your total trip. So if your vacation costs $5,000, travel insurance could run $200 to $400.
Experts say it can be worth it for those expensive dream vacations, but they say you should always read the fine print and not jump on that first insurance pitch that pops up when you book.
I'd always recommend buying it separately because you want to have an advocate working on your behalf if there is a problem with the cruise or flight provider.
So how can you shop around? Sites like travelinsurance.com and insuremytrip.com offer quotes from multiple companies, putting a price on peace of mind. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Atlanta.
And coming up here tonight, talk about an animal house, the new trend sweeping America's colleges. A major reversal tonight and an unexpected advocate for changing the laws on marijuana. Former House Speaker John Boehner, who once said he was unalterably opposed to decriminalizing marijuana, has joined the board of a cannabis company and says he supports removing regulations on pot as a way to help veterans with PTSD and also fight the opioid crisis. More and more American universities are going to the dogs, and cats too. A growing number of colleges are changing their rules and offering students dorms that allow pets. The schools say a rising number of students are asking to bring pets, and they are letting them to ease the transition from leaving home. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.